Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Amen. God is so good, right? And the great times, and the hard times, and the difficult times, the bad times, God is still good, right? God is good. Thank you for leading us this morning, Marty, in worship and praise of our Savior and God. This morning, if you have your Bible with you, what book are we turning to?
Hebrews.
And now we are in chapter... We were in chapter 5, now we're going to chapter 6. So, you who said chapter 5, I'm going to give you credit. You're very close. We were there last week. Now we've moved to chapter 6, and we're going to be in verses 1 through 3. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. So, if you have your Word of God with you this morning, let's turn there and let's read verses 1 through 3. The Word of God says this, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgments. And this we will do if God permits." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness, Lord, of how you are such a good, good God. Because God, you have been so good to us in sending us Jesus Christ, your Son, to die on the cross, Lord, to be our Savior, to give us life, eternal life in heaven. God, this morning I pray that there's someone here who has never believed in you as Savior and Lord of their life, who has never repented of their sins, that this morning will be the day that they believe in you and repent of those sins. That you become their Savior and Lord. I pray that this morning, Lord. God, I pray this morning as we begin to dive in and to learn these six elementary doctrines of Christ, Lord, that we will just take those in, that we will absorb them, Lord, and they will just become foundations to us. They'll be the very things that we stand on in order to build on them and to grow more in the faith. God, this morning I pray that you will help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity and passion. God, I pray that you will remove all distractions from us, Lord. That you will open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds to be able to see, to hear, to believe, and to know what your word teaches us today. Dear God, we pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Fundamentals. Fundamentals are very important. I remember every coach that I ever had whenever I was playing a sport in my younger days, they would always push the fundamentals, right? We have to do the fundamentals. We got to practice the fundamentals. Try to get better at the fundamentals of the game. Because you could play basketball or you could play football or baseball, and you could play those sports decently if you were good at the fundamentals of the game. If you knew the fundamentals, you could play. But if you didn't know the fundamentals of the game, or if you wanted to be really, really, really good at basketball or baseball or some other sport, then those fundamentals had to become kind of second nature to you. They had to become very second nature. I was looking for the word instinct. I couldn't think of it. They had to become instinct to you. When I played basketball in high school, just about every single practice, one of the drills we always did was dribbling. We practiced dribbling every single practice. Dribbling right-handed, dribbling left-handed, two balls in each hand, dribbling between the legs, behind the back. We practiced dribbling every single practice. Because it was a fundamental of the game, right? If you can't dribble, you really can't play basketball at all. You can't play a game. And we did this so that dribbling would become second nature to us. We didn't have to think about it. We just did it. We did it so that way when we were pushing down the court, you know, and if you're dribbling like this and you got teammates that's wide open down the court, can you see them? If I'm looking down, can I see you guys? No, you can't, right? But if basketball, if you're dribbling the basketball and it becomes a fundamental, an instinct to you, then you're able to look up, right? And you're able to pass the ball to the open person to hopefully shoot a good goal. Dribbling the ball meant that we could run plays, make good passes, open the door for more shots. But there's more fundamentals to the game of basketball, ain't there? There's rules to basketball. You can't walk with the basketball. That would get you in trouble. You can't double dribble with the basketball. That would get a whistle blown on you. You can't foul somebody intentionally or unintentionally. That will get a whistle blown on you. All those things are fundamentals, right? If you don't know the rules, the fundamentals of the game of basketball, you can't play basketball. You can't do greater things on the basketball court. There's ultimately no growing and becoming better at the sport. Fundamentals are important, but they are just that. Fundamentals. They are elementary learnings of the sport you're playing. And every basketball coach, every sporting coach, they want their players to know the fundamentals because it means they can mature at the game they are playing. Our passage today is very similar to this. Last week we talked about two types of Christians, the sluggish Christians and the mature Christian. We talked about their differences. But ultimately, the author was chastising this Hebrew church for being sluggish Christians because they were having to be retaught the basic principles of the Word of God. They were having to be retaught the elementary doctrines of Christ. And he challenges them to grow on to maturity. But there's a reason for this challenge. There's a reason for why he's wanting them to grow on to maturity. Because in these next few verses, after verse 3, and you get to verse 4, 5, 6, 7, those following verses, the author is going to teach us about apostasy. Teach us about those who have rejected Jesus Christ. And what is happening in this early Hebrew church is that these people who are not maturing, not growing in the faith, they are falling away from Jesus Christ. They are falling so far away that they are now rejecting Jesus. They're saying Jesus ain't the one. Jesus isn't the right one. They were going back to the Old Testament, to their priests, to the Old Testament priests, rather than seeing the salvation that came through Jesus Christ. And so the author is encouraging the church to internalize these elementary doctrines of Christ and to go on to maturity, to build that foundation and to go on to maturity so you don't fall away, so that you won't reject Jesus. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to take these six elementary doctrines of Christ We're going to open them up. We're going to unfold them so that we know what they are. And we can make sure that we are internalizing these doctrines of Christ. Because these doctrines are these doctrines that we are going to talk about today, they are foundational to the Christian life. And everything else that we learn builds upon that foundation. So we're going to lay the foundation today so that you can build on that foundation deeper truths of God's Word. Foundations matter, don't they? You can't build a house if you don't have a foundation. You can't build a building if you don't have a foundation. You can't build a road unless you have a foundation. You can't build anything unless they have foundations that are strong, that are solid, and able to be built on. So today in our sermon, we're going to see these six elementary doctrines of Christ. And these six doctrines, they're all coupled together. So we have two, two, and two. They're coupled together with another doctrine. The first and second doctrines are together. The third and fourth doctrines are together. And the fifth and sixth doctrines are coupled together. So we're going to talk about two of them at a time as we make our way through here because they complement each other. So six elementary doctrines of Christ. And the first two doctrines that we see in verse 1 are repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Repentance of sin and faith in God. These two doctrines, they very much go hand in hand together. These two doctrines are doctrines that ultimately come down to salvation. Right? What do you do when you are saved? You repent of your sins and you place your faith in God. Right? These doctrines come down to salvation. But before we go any farther, let's just talk about each one of them individually. The first one, repentance of sin, repentance from dead works. And this can be a bit confusing to read here in the ESV. However, if you read the NIV translation, it says this. Repentance from acts that lead to death. Does that help you understand it a little bit? Repentance from acts that lead to death. And this ultimately means two things. It means two things. The first thing it means is repentance from the dead works of the law. Implying that those who are trying to save themselves by living good, living righteously enough, or trying to be good enough to be saved, should repent from trying to do that. They should just stop. Just stop trying to obey the law in order to be saved. Because trying to obey the law ultimately leads to death. For the Hebrew church, this was a really big deal for them. It was a big deal because they, by choosing to follow Jesus, had given up everything else. They had given up the whole idea of living obediently to the law in order to be saved. They'd given that up. And instead, we're placing their faith in Jesus for salvation. They had to repent from the dead works of the law, the dead works of trying to live righteous enough and living good enough, and place their faith in Jesus rather than themselves. Right? And so if you're here today, this morning, hear me when I say this. Just because you think you are a good man or a good woman, it doesn't mean you're going to heaven. And that's really hard to hear, ain't it? It's really hard to hear. The thought of thinking that because you are being a good man or being a good woman will get you to heaven will instead lead you straight to the gates of hell. I think Satan loves it when people are trying to do their best to live good enough or to live righteously enough. Why? Because he knows that if he can continue to keep them living that lifestyle, then guess where we're going to go? Not heaven. What Jesus is saying, what God is teaching us in this word, is if you believe and put your faith in Jesus, then you will go to heaven. If you put your faith in the righteous works of Jesus, then you will go to heaven. If your good old self has done just one thing wrong or failed to glorify God in one single way, you're condemned to hell. And if that is you this morning, I pray that you become convicted of your pride and arrogance of thinking that you are good enough to get to heaven, and just humbly repent of that thinking. Repent of the thinking of being good enough, righteous enough to get to heaven, and instead place your faith in the righteous one, Jesus Christ. The Holy One, Jesus Christ. The very one who came to save your soul, Jesus Christ. This brings us to the second thing that repentance from acts that lead to death is talking about. And it means the dead works of sin. The dead works of sin. Sin leads to death, right? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Sin leads to death. And so the author is not only telling this Hebrew church to repent from the dead works of the law, but also to repent from personal sin. Romans 3:23 teaches us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that sin ultimately separates us from the holy God. And the only way that we can be brought back together is through the salvation that comes only through Jesus Christ. And that salvation comes through repenting of sins and placing their faith in God, which leads us to our second doctrine, faith toward God. Let's see if I have it there. No, I don't. Faith toward God. Faith toward God. Salvation is only given to those that have repented of their sin and placed their faith in God. Christians must have faith in order to believe. Faith toward God is considered an elementary doctrine that we must never forget. Because if we forget that our salvation is a result of our faith in God to save us, then we will begin to work for salvation, won't we? We will be concerned with thinking that we have to remain good enough in order to be saved. Any of y'all ever thought like that? You know, if I don't continue to live righteously enough or good enough, then I might lose my salvation. No! Hear me when I say that. No! Jesus has already lived righteous enough. And because of what Jesus has done, we are saved in faith. And if we forget that our faith has to be in Jesus and toward God, then we will become concerned with this idea that we have to continue living good enough in order to stay in the hands of God. But that's not true. It's not true. Because Christ is good enough. Praise God, our salvation is not dependent on us living good enough even after salvation, but it is rather dependent upon Jesus and His salvation that He gives. I hope you see why the author has joined these two together. Repentance and faith are both required for salvation. And this is exactly one of the points that the author is making here. These are elementary doctrines because it is the initial thing that we must do as Christians to be saved, to become a child of God, is to repent and believe, right? To repent and put your faith in God. We see in Scripture over and over and over again that people must repent and people must have faith in Jesus Christ. They are distinct from each other, but yet they are inseparable. In the book of Acts, we see this many times. The call for unbelievers to repent and have faith. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, as Peter concludes his sermon, he tells them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, we read something very similar as it says, "Repent, therefore, turn back, that your sin may be blotted out." And then we see in Acts 16:31, Paul and Silas are telling the jailer after the earthquake had opened up the doors, and right before he goes to kill himself, they say, "Stop, stop, don't do that. We're all here. We're all here." And the jailer says, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas both said, "Believe, have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." We're told in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through what?" What does it say in the church? Faith. And this is not your own doing, but it is what? The gift of God. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, in Jesus' own words, he says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." These two foundations here, these two elementary doctrines of Christ, or of repentance and faith, are central to our salvation. Central to our salvation. Without faith, without repentance, no one will be saved. And these two doctrines must become so internalized to us, because it is the reason we are saved, but also because it reminds us of our Jesus. It reminds us that Jesus is our Savior, not ourselves. And this morning, if you have never believed in Jesus Christ, never repented of your sins, I want you to know that you can do that right now. Right now, in this moment, you can believe in Jesus Christ. You can repent of those sins and place your faith in Jesus and His works and what He accomplished on the cross, and you will be saved. If that's something you would like to respond to this morning after the service, I'd love to connect with you and talk to you about what it means to believe in Jesus and place your faith in Him and repent of your sins, and what it means to follow Jesus onwardly from that point. The author now moves to another couplet. Two more elementary doctrines. Doctrines 3 and 4, instructions about washings and laying on of hands. And we see these two doctrines in verse 2. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there and you'll see these in these two doctrines. Now, if you are confused when we read this earlier, and even now as we say those two phrases, you're tilting your head a little bit and going, "I don't know about this. What is he talking about here? That's strange. That's a little weird. These washings and laying on of hands as elementary doctrines of Christ." Well, to give you the short answer, it simply means that next week we're going to have a bowl, a big bowl of water, and we're going to wash each other's feet. No? Okay. Nobody wants to do that? I'm kidding. That's not what it means. We're not going to have to wash each other's feet next Sunday, so please come back, okay? Don't leave. We're not doing it. Make sure you clip your toenails, get them all cleaned up before you come. I'm kidding. Okay? So it has nothing to do with us washing each other's feet. But what does it mean? What is the author trying to tell us here? What is he saying here? Well, in some sense, it is playing off the washings that the Jews had to do in the Old Testament. You see, in the Old Testament, there was a certain ritual washings that they had to do in order to be clean. And so it's likely that this early Hebrew church was still holding on to these ritual washings. Does that make sense? They're still holding on to it. But now that they are in the New Testament, and now that they are after Christ, and now that Christ has come and Christ has fulfilled the law, these ritual washings are no longer necessary. They're no longer needed. And so this can't be instructions about ritual washings, because the elementary doctrines are doctrines of who? Christ, right? So they must be interpreted in light of Jesus. And so now I just want to ask you this simple question. When you repent of your sin and you place your faith in God for salvation, what happens? Your sins are then what? Washed away. Did y'all catch that? You are washed away. You're made white as snow. And then soon after, I hope you followed the command to be baptized, because that is a command to us, that every believer that's ever believed in Jesus is to be baptized in order to show the world your profession of faith in Jesus Christ. But did this physical baptism, did it wash away any sins? Not the physical baptism. Physical baptism does not wash away any sins. It only shows that you are a believer, that you are professing to the world that you believe in Jesus Christ. The reason the early church needed instructions on washings was likely that they were needing to be taught that ritual washings were no longer of importance, because they have now been washed by the Holy Spirit. And they were being taught that baptism, physical baptism, is only a profession of faith. It's not like those ritual washings where you were being washed physically. No, it is a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. So we should understand this doctrine of instructions on washings rather as a doctrine of baptism. A baptism. And so this ultimately leads into the next confusing phrase, the laying on of hands. Again, this Hebrew church is filled with people who has recently converted to Christianity, meaning that they had an Old Testament understanding of the laying on of hands. In the Old Testament, people laid hands to do many things, such as to bless, such as to commission for service, and even on an animal about to be sacrificed. In the New Testament, we see hands being laid on people, such as for blessing. You see Jesus lay his hands on people for healing. You see the apostles lay their hands on people for healing. We see a commissioning for service. And we also see people receiving spiritual gifts through the laying on of hands. And we also see the laying on of hands for receiving the Holy Spirit. I want to focus on that last phrase there. People laid hands on others for receiving the Holy Spirit. I think this is where the author is leading us here, because it goes along with baptism in some ways. We read in Acts 8:17, if you're confused, just know that we're going to get unconfused in just a moment, so just bear with me. We read in Acts 8:17, "Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." We see in Acts 9:17, "So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" In Acts chapter 19, verse 6, we read something very similar, where Paul laid his hands on people who had believed, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. The laying of hands on people is a representation of something. What happened every time someone laid their hands on somebody? The Holy Spirit did what? Came upon them, right? And what was happening in that moment? The person was doing what? They were believing. Does that make sense? They had repented. They had believed. They had been washed by the Holy Spirit. And so what we see here is this description of laying on of hands is ultimately the inception of the Holy Spirit. And so we should understand this fourth doctrine as the inception of the Holy Spirit. When we believed in Jesus Christ and we repented of our sins, the Holy Spirit came into our lives, right? It came inside of us and dwelled inside of us. We were also washed by the Holy Spirit. The instructions of washings related to baptism of the Holy Spirit in church, the laying on of hands, is also related to the inception of the Holy Spirit. These two phrases are ultimately about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the new believer. And these early Hebrew Christians were needing to be taught the difference between the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives after Christ versus before Christ. See what I'm saying there? You get the work of the Holy Spirit after Jesus versus the work of the Holy Spirit before Jesus. And they were needing to be taught the difference. Christ changed it all. They needed instructions on the Holy Spirit's work in baptism and instructions on the inception of the Holy Spirit. Because when they believed, it wasn't the laying on of hands that brought the Holy Spirit. It was the belief and the repentance and the faith that one had in God that brought upon themselves the Holy Spirit. These two were elementary doctrines of Christ. And this means that we ourselves must understand the role of the Holy Spirit, even in our very own conversion and our very own salvation. And then we must also teach these new believers the role of the Holy Spirit in their conversion, of how the Holy Spirit washes them of their sins and how the Holy Spirit enters into their life at salvation. So this leads us to the final two doctrines, the fifth and sixth elementary doctrines of Christ. The resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. We see both of these doctrines at the end of verse 2. And both of these doctrines are both essential teachings of the faith, essential teachings of Christ. We see throughout all the New Testament, there will be a day, right? There will be a day in the future. There will be a day, a time in the future in which there will be a physical resurrection that will occur on that final day. Jesus himself said in John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. When Jesus returns, this physical resurrection will happen. And on this final day, every single body in the ground is going to rise up out of the grave, be resurrected at the coming of Jesus Christ, and will face the judgment. Face the eternal judgment. And this judgment is eternal. It's eternal because it is the final judgment. There'll be no more second chances. There'll be no more second opportunities or third opportunities or fourth opportunities. This judgment is definitive. Those who believe will go on toward the new heaven and the new earth. Those who have never believed, never repented of their sins, those who have never trusted in Jesus as Savior and Lord, those that don't have their name written in the book of life, be cast into hell. Eventually thrown into the lake of fire. The resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment were elementary doctrines of Christ for this Hebrew church. Christ is in both of those. When Christ returns, the resurrection of the dead will happen, and Christ is the judge on that final day. And I would agree that even today, these two doctrines should be doctrines that new believers learn. We teach to new believers. Because these two doctrines on the final day ultimately reminds us as believers, right? It reminds us as believers that when that day comes, we will be resurrected just as our Savior Jesus Christ was. And it reminds us that on that judgment day, we will be judged as righteous because of Christ and because of His blood. We don't have to worry. We don't have to live in fear of that final day because we are already in Christ. We're already in Jesus. And these two doctrines were elementary doctrines to the Hebrew church, the early Hebrew church. And I worry that we don't teach these two doctrines enough today. We don't teach these two doctrines enough that there's going to be a day that comes when there's going to be a final judgment, an eternal judgment, a definitive judgment. And this morning, if you are not right with God, if your heart is not right, if you have never, as I stated earlier, believed in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of your life, then when that day comes, unfortunate things are going to happen. However, if you believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, and trust in Him and repent of your sins, then when that day comes, you will be going to heaven. As a matter of fact, to take it even farther, from the moment you believe and place your faith in Jesus Christ and repent of your sins, guess what? You're going to heaven. Your judgment here on this earth is going to be the same judgment that happens on that final day. Righteous. Saved. So we must teach these two doctrines. And we must know these two doctrines for even ourselves. In our sermon today, we have learned six elementary doctrines. The doctrine of repentance from sin and trying to earn salvation. Repentance of personal sin. The doctrine of faith toward God by placing one's faith in God rather than in self. The doctrine of baptism and how the Old Testament ritual washings are no longer necessary because we are now baptized in Christ and washed by the Holy Spirit. The doctrine of the inception of the Holy Spirit and how laying on of hands was a sign or a representation of the Holy Spirit coming into one's life at salvation. The doctrine of the resurrection of the dead on the final day. The doctrine of eternal judgment that will also take place on that final day. A judgment that is definitive, will never be changed. These six doctrines were considered elementary to the Hebrew church. They were the fundamentals and the basics of Christianity for the Hebrew church. And I would agree that these six doctrines should still be six elementary doctrines that we ourselves should believe and understand and know and also teach to new believers and converts to Christianity. Because the reality is everything else in this word is built upon those six doctrines. The doctrines of Christ. That's why the author says in verse 1 to not lay again a foundation. Because they are foundational to the Christian life. And everything else in the Christian, every other Christian doctrine, all the deeper truths of Scripture are built on these foundations. I stated earlier, you think of building a house or building a building. The first thing you do is you lay the foundation, right? Get a nice, solid, firm foundation. Then everything else is built on top of that foundation. And you don't leave the foundation behind, do you? You don't forget about it, right? You don't forget about the foundation. You don't just leave it behind. No, the foundation is always there. Why? Because it's been set. It's been set. There's no forgetting it. There's no having to re-remember it or relearn it. It's there. It's there. And so my encouragement, church, is this. Internalize these foundations of Christ. Make these six elementary doctrines foundational in your life. Don't ever forget them. But rather, build on them by going on to maturity, as verse 1 says. And then in verse 3, it states, "This we will do, if God permits." We will grow in maturity, if God permits. That's what this verse is saying here. Church, here's what this means for us. We as Christians are responsible for our own learning of the deeper truths of God's Word. But we can't learn these deeper truths on our own. So we need someone else. We need someone else's help. And who's that person to help us? God. He's the one that helps us as we take responsibility for our own learning to learn and to grow more. We can't see, we can't understand, we can't know God's Word and His truths on our own. We need help. And so my encouragement, my second encouragement here, would be to pray to God. Pray to God and ask Him for help in maturing in the faith, in growing in the faith. Pray to God and ask Him to help you grow. Ask Him to help you to learn, to help you to understand, help you to know these deeper truths of God's Word. And then you be responsible in taking the initiative to mature in the faith. And I believe that God will bless that. I believe that God will bless that. And you will grow in maturity. I believe this passage can sometimes give kind of tendency of there's like Christian 1.0, then Christian 2.0 vibes, if that makes sense. I just used a word that you guys probably never heard. Christian 1.0, Christian 2.0, like just kind of thoughts, if that makes sense. Kind of make you feel that way, don't it, in some way. Let me tell you, there's no such thing as Christian 1.0 or Christian 2.0 or Christian 3.0. It's just plain Christian. So whether you are an immature Christian or whether you are a mature Christian, I want you to know one thing. You are still a Christian. The mature Christian should always be seeking to grow in maturity. The immature Christian should always still be seeking to grow in maturity. We don't have a higher class of Christianity. It's not how this works. It's not how this works. But the Bible does teach we can grow in maturity. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank You so much for Your goodness, Lord, of how You sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, Lord, and to be our Savior. God, we thank You so much for this passage that teaches us these six elementary doctrines of Christ, Lord, and God, we thank You for their confusion because it helps us to know and understand what You're meaning, Lord, the truth of Your Word. And God, I pray that we will just make these elementary doctrines a foundation, Lord, to our lives. And we will build on those. That we will remember that salvation came at the repentance of sins and faith in You. And that at salvation, Lord, Your Holy Spirit washed our sins away and was inside our hearts and came inside of our hearts. And Lord, we will remember that on the day of resurrection, the final day of judgment, Lord, that because we are in Christ, because the Holy Spirit is residing inside of us, we don't have to fear that day. Because we're already saved. We're already made righteous because of Jesus. And so, God, I pray that You just help us to make these doctrines foundational in our life. And that we will grow in maturity. That we will go on to maturity as You call us to do. pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.